Okay, so I'm going to try to go fast so that we can get to your questions, because frankly, my point, standpoint, that's what I want to hear. So it's sort of fitting that Philip went back in time a little bit, because what I want to do now is show you guys something that frankly has never been seen outside of Linden Lab before. You know, we were going to do the big preamble. New and different, and in some ways it is, because frankly this hasn't worked correctly in 3 years or so. So thank you to James Linden for getting this working, and we'll see if it actually works. What we are looking at is Linden World. This was Second Life in July of 2001.
Wow.
And so what you're looking at here is, here we can drive around, you know, trees. Sitting in front of us, that little red thing is an ator. This was our ecology. And I can actually, hopefully, make more ators, because how we put things into the world was by shooting them. And so, as I shoot, we put more stuff in the world. And the ators chase birds. And there should be audio. I'm not sure whether you guys are picking it up or not, but the birds have some really, really there we go. That's the spectacular bird noise that you listen to for you don't want to know how long. And you'll see right in front of me, what you're looking at there is a rock, because after all, birds eat rocks. This was our ecosystem.
Birds eat rocks.
Right. More rocks in the world. And this was building, because look, a cylinder. And as you can see back then, boy, was the frame rate good. And the other thing you can see is, look at the trees, which were an L system that that Philip wrote, actually, stealing some 2D code that had been put on our cookbooks. Shoot the trees. We actually destroy the L system and kind of back it up in time. I can shoot the ators. It's very violent these days. And we can add trees. Look, trees, right. And this is how all the building was going on. So you can understand why the idea of actually building, you know, a big space at this point was maybe not something we really intended. The other thing we had at this point, how we terraformed, was by dropping these grenades, which when they hit, would actually dig up the ground and make big explosions and stuff. And unfortunately, what you can't see, oh, here's our water. So if we drop grenades in the water, there's our really great stable water. You can understand when Philip said it was still, you know, oscillating the next day. That's because it was, you know, really stable spring mass damper systems. The great thing about it, the water actually was in for a long time. Sadly, bandwidth caused us to pull it. But this was pretty much how we terraformed. So when we wanted to do something, we'd be driving around, you know, bombing the terrain. And that was how we'd affect the terrain. So when you bitch about the current terraforming tools, don't make me roll back to this code. This was Second Life. I mean, this was Linden World. Linden World being the joke name that stuck with us for a very long time. And so this was July, and so let me get out of this. Oh, the sad thing is because I only have one. James and I couldn't quite get two operating on the same system yesterday. But the avatar at this point is not just an eyeball, but a flaming eyeball. It was an eyeball with a flame job that... Does that work? Because I was looking at it and it wasn't working. Avatar mirror. Oh, there we go. And see, as we look around, in theory, imagine it's looking around. Wait. There's more. Let me turn that off.
God.
The wardrobe must be incredible.
We have the. Where's the wind info? There we go. So the other thing we did at this point. Where? Oh, there we go. So this is the Yost fluid solution of Navier Stokes. And what you'll see is, if we shoot up in the sky, what we should hopefully see is the wind vector is changing and actually blowing the clouds around differently. So the amount of time that would be spent really late at night going, oh, look, I made a tornado. And as you can see, there we have vorticity. This is all spectacular stuff. So that was July. And I'm astounded that it actually worked. And so now if we fast forward to September, now we have a login screen using our spectacular built-in Windows stuff. And there is Primitar in all of his glory. So this was because as we'd seen people start building. Now, by the way, the board meeting with all the building was pretty much that past version. So when you understand that we did things like we built snowmen, it was because we could make a sphere, and then if we were really lucky, we could make another sphere on top of it. So, Primitar here is built out of primitives, and we can walk. You know, again, people who comment on our current walk cycle should perhaps view with shock and awe this walk cycle. Which actually is kind of interesting because actually it was solving. So this was the very first pass of an IK solution to walk on the terrain. And so now we can fly. And so I've got the little jetpack. And so I can fly around with really cool jetpack noises. And the other thing we had here was the ability to fracture objects. So, and these buildings actually have a point. At this point, we hadn't quite broken ourselves of the, it'll all be procedural, it will just magically all appear. And these buildings were the proof of concept that, you know, coding could create great-looking buildings. And, yeah. And so, the thing I ask you guys to consider is think about the terrain rules we still, and, you know, and in parcel, you know, rules, property rules, we still have fracture in, you know, because, boy, would that be helpful. So, and at this point, we actually had build mode, so we can make, oops, it's a little off screen, unfortunately. James, it's not working. There we go. And look, primitives. Yay! And I think we could, yeah, we could scale on good days. And rotate? Yeah, rotate, there we go. So these were the earliest building tools, and we had an object properties panel. Physics was in at this point, and so there we go. In fact, the same physics engine you guys have today. I realize you've been demanding that we not change physics engines, and I appreciate that. So, in fact, you can also see the same debugging tools here on the right of the screen that you guys sometimes will get popping up. What else do we have? We had home location. God view is? I don't know. Anyway, we had the very beginning of inventory stuff. We had the ability to chat. So there was a lot of what actually became Second Life in at this point, although, of course, the fact that it was Windows menus, half of the dialogues would actually be modal, so they'd block. And but this is where we were in September of 2001. So thank you to James for helping get this working. Of both of these, and those will be going up hopefully on YouTube here at some point, so we'll have more fodder for the Linden History Museum, which should be very cool. So let me get out of that and just very quickly fly through a couple of comments, and then we'll turn over to questions. So first and most important, as I always say when I'm in front of you guys, we are hiring. We are hiring a lot on dev. We are still open loop hiring on dev. You know Linux, Mozilla, web development, operations, and you think you're good enough to come work for us, get your resume to us now. With that, I would like to apologize for the at least three people who have come up to me today and said, I've submitted my resume and we didn't hear from you. We have been working to improve our submission process. We are better at it now than we have been in the past. So, if you submitted into the black hole and you didn't hear anything, and if you're a developer candidate and you didn't get a programmer test in response to your submission, it means that we sent your resume to DevNull. So please do resubmit and get back in the pipeline and do that. So that's the first thing. So three quick issues of, so we've done the past, okay? And it's kind of fun to go back and look at that and see where we were. Yeah, I don't have anything I want to put up. So I just have, I could do PowerPoint. No, I can't on this computer. So, James actually did, James Au did this great thing of saying, well, we're going to do this survey. And it came out in UI downtime. We're pretty far out in front. So that actually maps pretty well on what development is currently working on. So let's talk about three things. So the first one is product quality. So Linden Lab currently employs 27 developers in product development. 20 of those are currently tasked with making the existing product work better. So that's more developers working on quality improvement than we had in our employ at the last community convention. We have heard you guys. We understand that you want the existing product to work for you, and we're going to make that happen. So we are mostly focused on fixing problems in the UI, refactoring existing systems that don't work very well or are fragile because, well, they've been in the code since 2001. And we're going to do our best to fix those things. And so the next many releases are going to be very light on new features. Obviously, Groups is in preview, so that's going to be coming out. That was a feature that was pretty much done before we made this decision. The only other feature that's so close to completion that we're going to finish it up is the avatar puppeteering stuff. So those are really the only two new product features that are in development at this point. Everybody else is working on making what we have work better, scaling issues and such. Downtime. So I think you guys already saw the blog and forum posts. We're going to go to every 2 weeks, backing off of the every week release schedule. Advocating for every 3 days. that got shot down. So we're going to do that. The other thing that's perhaps more important long term is we have a major sort of meta project underway that we call Head Grid or Heterogeneous Grid. The goal of that is to not force you to update when we do, which should make you even happier than every 2 week release cycle. Now that's not going to happen for a while, but the pieces are going to start rolling out pretty quick. Because, again, we're starting to rebuild things. So what's the first thing we're ripping apart? The message system. So that beautiful, elegant, really, transport layer that LibSecond Life has done such a good job reverse engineering is going to change radically. And it's going to be switching over primarily to well-defined XML. So it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for the guys looking at it to pick it apart. And that's sort of indicative of the kinds of changes we're making. So, which kind of leads into my third really brief topic, which is just in general openness. Some interesting, to me at least, stats. So, as far as I can tell, there are more employees working at the various engineering middleware companies we've met over today. You know, the millions of us, the Electric Sheep, Rivers Run Red. Those guys employ more people than Linden Lab does, which is pretty cool. There are more people on the LibSecond Life developer mailing list than there are developers at Linden Lab. So both of those things say to me that we better be making changes to help you guys. And that's very much what we're trying to do. Another way of looking at it is you guys are up to 150,000 hours a day of use. So that's a 7,000 person content creation team working full time. So 20 wow. times the largest game team in history. 4 million lines of script code a week are being written. So every month you're writing, you know, Microsoft Office. Let me put that in terms that are positive. LibSecond Life, as long as we're on that topic, if it is not clear, the official position of Linden Lab Development is we like LibSecond Life. You guys rock. We are blown away by what you have accomplished. We are very excited to see you do more. So do not stop. Everything you reverse engineer is changing. So for that, I do apologize. Although in the long run, hopefully you're going to be really happy. Speaking of things that you're going to be able to dig into, you've probably noticed in preview and recent releases, the UI has been moving into XML. That transition is going to complete over the next month-ish. So the good thing about that is our UI is refactored. It's a lot more stable in the long run, much easier for us to catch the kinds of mistakes that have flown out in, say, the last 2 months of releases. So switching to XML for us has been a rather painful transition just because it means touching every piece of the UI code, which I cannot overemphasize how much you wouldn't want to do that. But now that we're into XML, life's going to continue to get better. And there's going to be at the SLUs tomorrow, Zoe's going to be talked about a lot. The other thing is this is going to let us localize. So we're finally going to start having an internationalized menus text in the client. And by the end of this transition, you guys are going to be able to do your own translations. So we fully expect you guys to do better and more varied translations than we do. I'm personally looking forward to the sarcastic translation, which will, I'm sure, make my day.
Teleport already.
Yeah, exactly. Teleport now, please. So that's coming along pretty well. I talked about the message system a little bit. LLSD is our internal standardized XML format for that. I'm not sure whether we published that yet or not, but it will be. Last couple things. So as we let you guys get at more of what's going on inside the system, as Live Second Life figures out more ways to poke into the system, one of the key things starts becoming knowing who you are, knowing what you're allowed to do, and then actually allowing you to do those things. The model we're going to allow that is called capabilities. We're switching to a capabilities-based permission structure. For the folks who actually know about capabilities, that should cause a little bit of terror, since capabilities are often referred to as the future of permissions, and they will always be the future of permissions. But fortunately, we seem to have a pretty good model, and the first permission stuff is already in testing internally. The advantage of this is you generate generally URI-based permissions where they're unguessable, they can be single use, you can give capabilities to other people, you can allow other people to do things, so that to do all the good stuff that Live Second Life is doing, you don't have to log on to do it. Because as amazing as it is what you guys have accomplished with that, clearly that's not the best approach to get at the internals. The second thing is as much data as we possibly can is going to be exposed by REST interfaces. So for those who don't know, REST, representational state transfer, is a rather nice model for having access to data. It's discoverable, it's clean text, you can hit things with browsers, you can hit them with RSS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The idea being that we want you guys to be able to get at the data to do things like, well, I don't know, build your own web-based parcel manager for your parcels, and to be able to do that really easily, as opposed to having to, you know, log in an avatar, fly them around, and do all the other things that you guys are currently trying to do, which, again, very impressive, but why make you jump through hoops that you don't have to? And on that note, by the way, if you're working on Live Second Life and you're really stuck on something, just ask us. And, you know, it's funny, they were down at the office yesterday and said, well, gosh, we've almost got everything done, but, you know, this layer format is just insane. Our layer format is DCT compressed, except it isn't JPEG standard, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, we do know what the format is, and frankly, I don't care if you guys know it. So, you know, you could just ask, and we'll tell you. Caveat, be a little bit patient, because we are busy trying to, you know, fix bugs and stuff. So, the long term, our goal is we want open, discoverable APIs for as much of the system as we possibly can. You guys are doing incredible things. We want you to be able to do more. I've described where I want to get is that I want to be able to sit in Emacs, find out what objects are on my land, edit a script on one of those objects, and then reinsert it into the system, all without having to, you know, log in or use the client or anything else. And we are going to get there. So that's all I've got. So let's turn it over to questions. Thank you.